Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. We thank God on today. Come on, let's give God some praise. Amen. We thank you, God, for another opportunity to come together to receive in the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, 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 everyone, to Saturday School. Welcome back. Amen. Those of you all that have been with us these last a few Saturdays as we are studying the books of the Bible, amen, and breaking it down, making it easy for us to understand which each of the books entails, amen, in the name of Jesus and how we see Jesus in each book, amen. So we thank God again for the opportunity. Let us pray as we enter in to receive our lesson for today. Father God, we just want to say thank you. Heavenly Father, we come giving you all honor, praise, and glory, and all the admiration. We come exalting your name above all names, for there is no one greater than you, Lord. We come surrendering to thy will, Lord God, that your will may be done in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we ask as we humble ourselves this day to be delivered from all that is not of you, amen, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We just want to say thank you, Father. Thank you for new mercy and new grace. Amen. Thank you, Lord God, for keeping us. Thank you for remembering us. Thank you for your love, for loving us. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son to save us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your shed blood. Amen. We thank you for the word on today. Amen. In this lesson, we ask that you allow the scripture to take root and manifest in us, oh Lord, and be grappled on our hearts and mind, helping us keep our minds stayed on you, that your people can close to peace. Amen. Lord, let us receive right now, in Jesus Christ's mighty name, revelation, knowledge, and wisdom of your word to apply to our daily lives, that we live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you for, Lord, we come against every hindering spirit on the line, every unteachable spirit, every lying spirit, manipulating spirit, controlling spirit, spirit of bitterness, spirit of rebellion, of disobedience. We command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against the spirit of double-mindedness, that we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare and declare this deliverance right now. Hallelujah. And that we are free, and we are free indeed. Amen. For the Bible says that the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. So we thank you right now that it has been destroyed in Jesus Christ's mighty name. And we thank you for it, Lord. We bless your name. We give it all over to you right now, God. We come to be changed. Let change take place. Amen. Right here in Saturday School. And all that online, all that will listen to this lesson later, hallelujah, in life, in the name of Jesus Christ, and all that is logged on, oh Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, that all may be able to receive right now and be changed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And that's what we thank you for, Lord. We thank you for releasing your warned angels, amen, to warn against any spirits designed to stop our prayers and stop us from receiving right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And that's what we decree and declare that it is so and it shall be no other way. We decree and declare the blessing of the Lord upon our life, the goodness of the Lord operating through, that the blessing of the Lord will run us down and take us over in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we seal this plan with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things but fail as we enter in. It's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, welcome, 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 everyone, here to Saturday School. Amen. And we are continuing our lesson of study as we're talking about the books of the Bible and how we see Jesus in each book and the breakdown, making it easy, making it simple to understand what each book entails of the Bible, when it was written, the purpose of it, the summary, the outline, and how we see Jesus in it, and the key verses in each book that you may know or you may have heard quoted over and over again in these particular books of the Bible. So we're picking up here in the book of Ezra, you all, on the history of the first and the second waves of Jews who returned to Jerusalem. It was written in the 400s B.C. by Ezra. The purpose is to provide an account of the exiles' return and restoration. Amen. So the exiles' return and restoration, and a summary of the book of Israel. The book of Israel shows how God is faithful to his promise to restore his people after they spend decades in exile in Babylon and Persia. King Cyrus of Persia allows the Jews to return to their homeland. So the first wave of returning Jews is led by Zerubbabel, who oversees the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. Amen. So the second wave was led by Ezra, a court scribe and priest who guides the community in spiritual renewal. The outline of the book of Ezra when we look at it, the first one of the two chapters, it talks about the first return led by Zerubbabel, and then chapter 3-6, the temple being rebuilt, and then we see in 7 and 8 the second return by led by Ezra, and then 9 and 10 we see spiritual restoration taking place. Now, where do we see Jesus in the book of Ezra? Jesus in Ezra. The book of Ezra shows the fulfillment of God's promises to restore Israel. However, the promise was only partially fulfilled. The complete fulfillment of God's promise occurs in Jesus. The key verses here in the book of Ezra is Ezra chapter 3, verse 11 says, "The Lord is good. His love toward Israel endures forever." His love towards Israel endures forever. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's the that is the book of Israel being broke down here in the simplest, making it easy for all to understand what the book of Israel is about. Now, Nehemiah, which is right after Israel, is a history of the third wave of Jews who returned to Jerusalem. It was written in the 400s by Ezra as well. And the purpose for the book of Nehemiah was to provide an account of the exile's return and restoration as well. And the summary of the book of Nehemiah is the original one book with Ezra. So the book of Nehemiah continues where Ezra left off. So Nehemiah is a cupbearer to a Persian king who allows him to lead a group of Jews to Jerusalem to rebuild the crumbling walls of the city. So this enormous task is completed in only 52 days despite much opposition. Whereas Ezra led a spiritual restoration, Nehemiah leads a political and physical restoration of Jerusalem and its inhabitants. The outline here in the book of of Nehemiah, we look in chapter 1 and 2, it talks about the third return led by Nehemiah, and then chapter 3, the rebuilding of the walls, and then chapters 4 through 7, the threats and persecutions, and then 8 through 13, the renewal and dedication. How do we see Jesus in Nehemiah? See, the book of Nehemiah shows the fulfillment of God's promises to restore Israel. However, the promise was only partially filled. The complete fulfillment of God's promise occurs in Jesus. The key verse here in Nehemiah is in Nehemiah 8 and 10. It says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next, we have Esther, the book of Esther. A story of courage in dangerous times. When we look at the book of Esther, so it is written in 400 BC by an unknown author. The purpose is to demonstrate that God is in control in all circumstances. Amen. The summary of Esther, when we summarize it up, the book of Esther is the story of a young Jewish woman thrown into a world of political intrigue and power plays in the Persian court in Susa. So the story takes place while the Jews were in exile. Esther becomes queen of Persian king Xerxes at the time. Ahasuerus, if that's how you pronounce the name, I'm not sure you all, but I think I got it. She makes courageous choices to save her people from being slaughtered by their enemies. We see in each chapter, starting with chapters 1 through 2, that Esther becomes a queen, and then 3, Haman's plot against the Jews, and then 4 and 6, Esther's plan to protect the people, and then Haman's downfall in 7 and 8 and 10, the Jews are saved, and Purim is established. How do we see Jesus in the book of Esther? Although God is not explicitly named in the book, his presence is unmistakable throughout the story. In our busy lives, we often go on living as if Jesus were not present, yet as in Esther, he is ever present and interested in our lives. The key scriptures, key verse in Esther is Esther 4:14 that says, Mordecai said to Queen Esther, "And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Amen. Now, when you talk about poetry and wisdom books, you know, understand what are the poetry and wisdom books. As we continue here in our study, we're going to go ahead and talk about those 5 books, you know, these books that were composed, these 5 books that were composed, 4 of which are written in poetry, like Job, most of it, in Psalms and Proverbs, and Song of Songs, Ecclesiastes, written mostly in prose. So poetry has a unique ability to express deep feelings and thoughts in effective and beautiful ways. For that reason, poetry is the perfect instrument for wisdom. So the poetry and wisdom books do not deal directly with Israel's life at a specific time in history or reflect on the life of God's people and their relationship with God in a more general way. The poetry and wisdom books deal with questions about human suffering, death, and what makes a good life. We look at the poetry and wisdom books today. These books continue to be important for Christians today. Their main themes shape the hearts and minds of God's people. Praise and prayer, guidance for holy lives, our inner relationship with God, and our relationship with others around us. Amen. So when we look at the book of Job, a story of suffering and trust. So it was written, the written date and author is unknown, and the purpose is to show the sovereignty of God and to illustrate a faithfulness in the midst of suffering. We can summarize this, the book of Job, through the story of Job is sent in an unknown it's set in an unknown place called Uz, probably around the time of Abraham. Its theme of human suffering and God's wisdom and timelessness, in the story of Job is a blameless and upright, in chapters 1 and 1 here, man who finds his life overturned. Despite his intense pain, Job does not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. We see in chapter 1, verse 22, in the end, Job is reminded that God is sovereign over all creation. The outline of the book of Job, we see in chapter 1 and 2 that in the prose of Job tested by losing everything. And then 3 through 41, we see, you know, poetry dialogues. 3 through 31, Job and his friends, Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar, Elihu's speech in 32 and 37, and God's answer to Job in 38 through 41. And then we see prose where God was restored in chapter 42. And how do we see Jesus in the book of Job? Jesus experienced suffering and can empathize with our own suffering, according to Hebrews 1:15. Trusting in Jesus does not give us all the answers to our doubts and questions, but it does give peace and comfort in times of suffering. Amen. The key verse in the book of Job says, in Job chapter 19, verse 25 to 26 says, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next, after Job, we see the book of Psalms. Psalms, a collection of poetic songs. It's written in 1450 B.C. by David. 73 psalms were written by David, and then 12 of those, 12 psalms by Asaph, and then the sons of Korah, 11 psalms and others that were written. So we understand David wrote, and then Asaph, and then Korah, the son of Korah, and then others. So David wrote most of the book of Psalms, but there were others that were mentioned and then others that were unknown. They wrote in the book of Psalms. The purpose is to communicate with God and to worship him. The summary of the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms is a collection of psalms, you know, psalms written and compiled over a long time span. Hallelujah. And it can be separated in five collections. Let me see, break it down here. We're having an outline here of 1 through 41. In the book of Psalms, we see the themes were prayer of laminated expression of confidence in God's salvation. And then we see in 42 through 72, the community laments. The book ends with a royal psalm. And then 73 through 89 chapter, we see prayers of lament and distress more intense and bleak than in books 1 and 2. And then in chapters 90 through 106, we see the Lord reigns. Books 4 presents the answers to the bleakness of book 3. And then we see in chapters 107 through 150, God is in control, faithful and good. He will redeem his people. How do we see Jesus in the book of Psalms? See, when Jesus said that all of the scriptures spoke of him, he specifically mentioned the Psalms. Amen. Amen. And then the New Testament writers quote many of the psalm texts in connection to Jesus being the promised Messiah. The key verse here is in Psalms 145 and 21. It says, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen, amen, amen. At this time, if you have any questions or comments, please press 1. If you have any questions or comments, please press 1 at this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you're online, if you have any questions or comments, please call in to 845-277-9213 and press 1. We would like to hear from you. We welcome all comments and questions at this time. Amen. So we're going to continue on here. Amen. And we're going to wrap up here around 1:30, you all. And I hope that's okay with you all. Today I have an event to go to, and I need to take care of a few things here. But I thank God again for the opportunity to be here and be in position. Amen. How many of y'all know that position is everything? Amen. In Christ, as we operate as the body of Christ, positioning, being in position. Amen. Next, the next book is the book of Proverbs, which speaks of wisdom for godly living. It was written in the 900s to 700 B.C. by King Solomon and others. The purpose was to gain wisdom and instruction for prudent behavior and doing what is right. The book of Psalms, when we summarize it, it invites readers to make a life-changing decision between wisdom and foolishness. The readers hear from both Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly Foolishness. Their invitations become alternatives between a path of wisdom that leads to life and a path of foolishness that leads to death. Let's talk about the outline here in the book of Proverbs. We see in chapters 1 through 9 the invitation to choose wisdom or foolishness. And then 10 to 21, we see Proverbs of Solomon. Chapters 22 to 24, we see 30 sayings and otherwise words. And then Solomon's saying in chapters 25 to 29, and then we see in chapters 30, 31, we see words of Agar and Lemuel and in palms of the wives of women surrounded up. Amen. So how do we see Jesus in the book of Proverbs? So Jesus embodies God's wisdom, and in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen. So the key verse here in Proverbs is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, and I believe we all should know this. If not, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ecclesiastes is next. Amen. And we're going to be wrapping up here. We're going to probably wrap up in the book of Song of Songs. We're going to wrap up in that book tonight. Today, I'm sorry, today. Amen. So Ecclesiastes is searching for meaning and truth. That's what Ecclesiastes is about, searching for meaning and truth. It was written in 971 and not through 931 B.C. by King Solomon, or possibly by different authors in the 500s of B.C. The purpose is to examine what a meaningful life is. The summary of the book of Ecclesiastes wants to make the author of Ecclesiastes wants to make sense out of life, wisdom, and truth. At first, he proposes that everything is meaningless, vanity. After careful observation, the pursuit of all worldly pleasures and assessment of wisdom and an analysis of the purpose of life, he concludes that a meaningful life is not found in those frivolous pursuits. Instead, it is found in pursuing God as our number one priority, remembering and obeying our Creator. The outline of Ecclesiastes in chapter 1 talks about everything is meaningless. We see in chapters 1 through 2 and then 3 through 5 a time for everything. And then 6 through 10, life is not always fair. We see that. And then 11 through 12, remember and obey God. Amen. How do we see Jesus in the book of Ecclesiastes? It's at the end of the search for truth and meaning is Jesus Christ. Only by seeking Christ and believing in his death and resurrection will we find righteousness, salvation, and true meaning. The key verse in Ecclesiastes 12 is 12 and 13. It says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Amen. Well, we're going to go on here. We're going to be wrapping up here as we're going to conclude here in our study. The book of Song of Songs, it's a love song. It is written in 971 to 931 B.C. by King Solomon, possibly others as late as the 500s B.C. The purpose is to illustrate the joy of authentic love found in marriage. the authentic love found in marriage. And so the summary here of Song of Song is a collection of love poems declaring mutual love and affection between the lover and his beloved. The poems are written to present us with the way things should be within a loving covenant relationship. The outline is in chapter 1 through 2 is courtship, and then 3 and 4 is wedding, and then 5 and 8 is loving relationship. How do we see Jesus in the book of Song of Songs? The Apostle Paul wrote, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up to her." The church is the bride of Christ. As Christ's bride, we are his beloved and participate in a loving, passionate, and intimate relationship with him. Although Song of Songs is not primarily allegory of a relationship with Jesus, it is a superb example of a loving relationship with our Lord and Savior. The key verse in the book of Song of Songs is the Song of Songs, chapter 6 and 3. It says, "I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine." Amen. And my beloved is mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The prophetic books, you all, what are the prophetic books? See, the prophetic books, and we talk about as we come back together on next Saturday, God willing, amen, as we close out here this afternoon, we're going to talk about the prophetic books and what are the prophetic books, and understanding the work that records the ministries of the prophets who God sent to encourage, warn, and guide his people. These books are divided into two sections, the major prophets, Isaiah through Daniel, and then we have the minor prophets. Amen. And the minor prophets are from Hosea through Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. These books are called major and minor because of their length, from very long, 66 chapters in Isaiah, to very short, only one chapter in Obadiah. So we're going to be talking about that and what is prophecy. Biblical prophets were God's servants, especially called to be his witnesses. In the Old Testament, prophecy was a tool that God used to communicate his will to his people. God sent prophets to his people during times of crisis, such as military threats against God's people, when the people rebelled against God's will, when hope seemed to be all, to be but lost, when the people needed comfort in difficult times. The Old Testament prophets brought the word of God to the people, and they interceded on behalf of the people before God. As Scripture says, "Surely the Father Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." And we see this in the book of Amos, amen, chapter 3, verse 7. Again, I say that the Old Testament prophets brought the word of God to the people, and they interceded on behalf of the people before God. As Scripture says in Amos 3 and 7, "Surely the Father Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." Amen. So if you can, tune back in with us. You know, be back here with us on next Saturday and Saturday school. Amen. So as we continue on in our lesson, it's study the Bible, the books of the Bible, all the approaches that have made simple, made easy for us to understand what each book is saying, what is the purpose, and when did it take place, and how do we summarize that in the outline of what do we find in those books and how we see Jesus in each book of the Bible. So join us back here on this Saturday as we go with the prophetic books of the Bible, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Michael, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, and Zechariah, and Malachi. Amen. As we subject it on, as we come back on next Saturday, we will be covering those particular books of the Bible and God's prophet, major and minor prophets. Amen. So join us. I look forward to being here again on next Saturday, all in good health and strength and the power of the Holy Ghost, blessed and favored by God, you as well, in the name of Jesus. So please be with us. Join us at that time. Remember, we are here. Amen, to serve one another. So if there's anything that we can do here at the Gospel Public Ministries in Houston, Texas, me and my husband, Pastor Doyce, amen. And please let us know. Give us a call at 832-725-8094. And we thank God for you. Let us pray as we close out our lesson on today. We thank you, Father God, once again for blessing us with the word, oh God. We thank you for your prophets, amen. We thank you, Lord God, for your apostles. We thank you for your prophets and prophetess, evangelists, preachers and teachers that you place, oh God, that you put in position for us to receive from in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, oh God, for the word that went forth. We thank you, oh God. We can't thank you enough against you. We thank you, Lord. We leave this line but never your presence. Lord, I ask that you go with us all, that you make every crooked path straight before us, oh God. Lead us and guide us in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for traveling grace and mercy for those of us that are beyond the world today as we leave out of Saturday school that will be traveling, already traveling and listening in. Oh Lord, we pray for traveling grace and mercy by faith. We receive it right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you, Father God, that you're already blessed us. We thank you for sending Jesus that we are saved. So we thank you for our salvation on today. Oh Lord, be willing, oh God, according to your word. So bless us, oh God, with a heavenly blessing of favor. Oh God, surprise us with our goodness on today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you, oh God, we decree and declare the overflow of blessing and favor upon our life and our goodness. Let it be, oh God, according to our faith in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, increase our faith so that we can receive it right now and help our unbelief, oh God. And we decree and declare it is so, and it shall be no other way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You all have a beautiful day in the Lord and a blessed week. Amen. Join us for Sunday service if you can at 10 a.m. We have service at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time here at 845-277-9213. And Sunday at 2 p.m. is a recap of our 10 a.m. Sunday service. So join us. And if you miss the 10 a.m., you can catch it at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. God bless you. God keep you. I love you. Remember, God loves you more. The devil is defeated, and Jesus is Lord over all. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear her say, well.
Give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him, and now I'll give him back, so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing,
I wanna hear
yeah.
That.